This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to another edition of That Millwall Podcast. As you can see, we are without regular host and IT technician Mickey, or also known as the X-Fan on the board. He is struggling with an injury this evening to his neck. I'm not going to get into what he's done. We're not gonna ask you at all to predict or guess what Mickey's done to his neck in the chat whatsoever. but the intro, a little bit different. Back to the older one. As I say, I'm not the master IT technician. But tonight, alongside me, we have the one and only Joe Zampa. Joe, how are you?
I'm good, Stephen. How are you, mate? You all right?
Yeah, very well, mate. Very well, very well. And Jay, how are you, my friend?
Good chaps. How are we both doing? All good?
Yeah, all good. All good. So, yesterday, the Lions won. We beat Watford 1-0. It was efficient, shall we say, I think is the best way to describe it. Before I get into, or we get into, the match yesterday and a little bit more the ins and outs of the game itself, I just wanted to address and kind of an underlying tone for the episode. Neil Harris. I have a concern that Neil Harris probably isn't the right man to be in charge when the players report back from pre-season in June or July, whenever it is. I don't think we can sustain a 46-game season playing the style of football that we saw yesterday and we saw at Southampton. However, in the here and now, Joe Edwards was relieved of his duties, and I firmly believe that we were going down under Joe Edwards. And the board made a decision to turn to Neil Harris and said to him, right, 13 cup finals, Neil, keep us up. He's won two of them out of two. Right now, he is the right man to be leading us, and he's the right man to get us out of trouble. Now, I know people might disagree with that, and I'm going to come to Jay. I'll come to you first shortly. But I know that not everyone will agree with that, but I think that summarises where we are pretty much as a club, right?
Yeah, totally agree. Look, we said a couple of times on the previous pod, especially when Harris was hired, that this wasn't a hire about playing style, about football or the technical side of the game or playing attacking football or anything to do with that. This was a hire for the here and now, as you just said, about we are going to war for the next 13 weeks and who better out there to lead this club into war. It's got 13 games when Harry's come in. Now, if you go a different direction, a new manager might need 4 weeks of that 13 to get used to his players, used to the club, used to how these players play under him, sort of systems and so on. Harris has that in his favour already. So he could come in from the get-go and get something going the second he walks through the door. Now, two results out of two, 6 points out of six is a fantastic return. I know we're going to come on to some three-word opinions in a bit, so I'll save it for then. But I said in my gut reaction on Saturday after Watford, while it's a great result, I don't know if it's sustainable for 12 weeks, let alone for 46, like you just said. So, yeah, it's for the here and now, so I'm trying to put that aside, the football side of things, but I totally agree with what you're saying going into the off-season.
Before I come to you, Joe, evening everyone in the chat, I am going to attempt to be right bang up to date with the comments, so when Mickey's back, there's no slander, or we want Mickey back. Joe, obviously following on from what I said, I think yesterday it was abundantly clear that the players have reacted to Harris, the fans have reacted to Harris, but it's going to take some effort to really continue to play at the level that we are over the rest of the season, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the team that started against Watford, there's only one change from the game previous against Southampton. So, yeah, how is he going to continue picking the same 11 or 12 players to start, if you like, week after week? It's going to change. He's going to use his squad. Lots of people asking, you know, why Casper isn't starting, or, you know, maybe why Brook Norton Cuffey not starting, one or two others. But I think at the end of the day, he's got a squad of players. He picks the team who he believes is good enough to beat the opposition. And let's be honest, you know, we had two tough fixtures, away to Southampton for a team that keep the ball very, very well, that can hurt you and punish you if you don't defend well against them. And although Watford were quite poor yesterday, they're still a decent side. They've still got, you know, international players. And on their day, they could probably beat anyone in that division, you know. So you can't play too openly and let them play through you. So I think he picked the team and he set them out a game plan not too dissimilar against Southampton. And guess what? We've got two wins out of two games. You can't argue that, can you?
Absolutely. And obviously, moving on to the game, as you said there, Joe, we made one change from the Southampton win the previous week. I actually had called beforehand, I thought Longman might have been dropped, rested, however you want to call it. But the team that started with Duncan Watmore, I kind of felt like it was close to being a team that Harris wanted to get us on the front foot. And perhaps the game plan under Neil is going to be to score early. It's not going to happen every week, but it has back to back. And that really, really settled us a bit, didn't it?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, the team that sat against Southampton were a very good, strong, working defensive team. I think you're right. Being at home against Watford, who perhaps we were slight favourites to beat them, probably so, being at home with the momentum behind us after winning Southampton. So I think he went with Watmore, sort of Longman, to give us that little bit more of an attacking threat being at home. I'll be honest with you, I don't think it worked. I think he should start with Longman. I thought Long done really well against Southampton on that left-hand side, helping out Danny McNamara. Watmore just looks, I wouldn't say he looks unfit. He just does not look like he's a 90-minute player. Whenever I've seen Watmore start, he's never the same player as he is when he comes on off the bench, has he? So, but look, hindsight is a wonderful thing. You know, perhaps he could have done brilliantly, could have scored, you know, who knows? I mean, he did have a chance, to be fair, in the end of the first half, didn't he, I think, where he was a bit unlucky, hit the post with that. But, yeah, with a crystal ball, you know, he probably would have been better off sticking with Longman rather than Watmore. But, yeah, I'm sure over the next sort of couple of more games, he'll probably get a better idea on who his strongest 11 is. At the moment, he's probably just sort of tinkering a little bit.
Absolutely. And Jay, I think we've had this conversation. I know Chaps is very much on this train of thought that it doesn't really matter how the ball hits the back of the net. It doesn't matter who scores. It doesn't matter, you know, necessarily when it comes, it just has to hit the back of the net. And I don't know about you guys yesterday where you were, but it was a delayed reaction for me when the ball hit the back of the net. It was kind of like, and we've scored. But Ian Fleming won the free kick, finds the back of the net with a deflection. You can't really ask much more from the supposed talisman, can you, Jay?
No, definitely not. And it was pretty much the same as Southampton and pretty much the same as it's been most of the season, where we look really good them first 20 minutes. We're on the front foot and the opposition are struggling to suss us out with what we're going to do. And it was a great free kick from Zian Fleming, took a slight deflection, but that's what he's doing at the moment. And in two games, it's three set pieces, if you class the penalty as a set piece. You know, set pieces are being really key at the moment in this Millwall side under Harris. But I am concerned with when the opposition adjusts and they start to put us under pressure. I think we're too quick to go into that defensive mode. I don't think we try and match them up. I thought the team he picked, as you said, with Watmore, would have given us a bit more attacking intent. Longman's probably better at holding the ball up, but Harris said himself he wasn't happy with how we kept the ball. We didn't move it about. Watford are a good team. They played good yesterday. They wasn't bad yesterday. You know, they created a lot of chances. But again, it's a very good defensive performance. We kept them out. We nullified them. They didn't create too many clear-cut chances, and we won the game. Can we do that every week for 90 minutes, especially when we've got three games in a week? I don't know. I think we'll see more changes. I don't think we'll see Billy and Sav every week. I was surprised that Casper didn't start, especially at home. But, you know, it's 6 points in two games. We can be critical at the end of the season when we know what the club's long-term approach is going to be with the manager position. But for the right now, this is just a dogfight to get points, and we've got 6 out of 6.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a couple of comments, guys. I've saved a couple of them for us to come back to, because there's some really, really good points being raised at the moment. I think that the problem is, as a supporter, you know, when you go at home, you hear Neil Harris and he says, I want the fans to be excited to come and watch their team play. I want them to come to the Den and enjoy their day. Now, we all have different, probably, pre-match routines. Some go to the CAF, some go to the Blue Bus, some get to the game 5 minutes before kickoff. Whatever it is that you do, you go to a game of football, I do, and I look forward to seeing Millwall play. I hope that they win, and I look forward to it. But I don't know how you can say, really, about enjoying a game of football when you only really have two efforts on goal. It just seems a little bit baffling. It's almost as if Harris is saying the things that he wants us to hear. And don't get me wrong, I'm not criticising the fact he's obviously trying to get the fans back on board after Joe Edwards. But do you not think, Joe, that it's conflicting messages where he's saying, I want people to come and enjoy it, but the end result, we've won the game 1-0, which is the main thing, but everyone's quick to just basically shut down everything that we've done for 90 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, before I answer that question, I've just seen the comments come through. I just want to answer Miles' question. So Miles being a little bit sort of harsh, I think, on Obafemi. Obviously, as we know, guys, the last sort of 2 years, Obafemi hasn't played hardly any football, at all. He's probably played a few minutes here and there. He's had lots of injuries, lots of problems. He did try and get back into our team, and then he was off with illness for a little bit of time. He really sort of struggled, I think, against Southampton. You can see that, like, he was really, really tired. And he completed about, was it 60, 70 minutes, I think, yesterday. That. So he's working his fitness levels up. So, Miles, rest assured, Obafemi will come good, but he needs a couple of more games to build that fitness levels up. And once he gets that fitness levels up, honestly, he's going to be some player for us. And I think you can see little glimpses in his pace and what he's like when he's actually on the ball. At the moment, he's just chasing scraps. So another point is on Watmore. I disagree on what Miles is saying. I feel like I'm digging Miles out here, but it's only because I saw the questions come through. I don't think Watmore is not up for it or don't give a shit. You can see quite clearly he's trying. He's heads down, he's running, he's trying to track back and doing what he can. I just don't think he's got the kind of the engine or the fitness, whatever you want to call it, to play this sort of system. And yeah, whether he'll get into that kind of way in the next sort of few games, who knows? But like I said, for me, I see Watmore as an impact player. I see him as a half hour, you know, 20 minute player, come on and do something. Yeah. But what's your question again? Sorry, Stephen. I forgot you were going
to
ask me.
No, that's it. I mean, just before I'll come back to the question, but the guys in the comments, we do see them all. I'm trying to star as many of them as possible so we can come back to them. But if there's any that you guys, Jay and Joe, if you pick them out, by all means,
I'm writing them down now, Steve, because I'm just conscious that, you know, these guys are, you know, taking the time to kind of write these comments, and they're tuning every single week. I think it's unfair for us just kind of breeze through these comments and not absorb them, and I try to read every single comment that comes through. If I can answer them, I will. I'm sure you guys will too. So this week I've got my pen and my pad. I'm actually writing these these comments down in names, so I'll get back to you if I miss you.
Yeah, I want to back off of that, off of Watmore as well, because when under Rowett, when Watmore was being used more as that last sort of 20 minute man, he had all the energy in the world. And like you said, it's not for the want of trying with Watmore. No, he does give 150%. His 150%, though, just lasts half an hour. And after half an hour yesterday, he looked absolutely shot to bits. He was unable to press. He was putting Danny Mac in some difficult situations. And that's why the change was made. It was the right change. Mm. But I see the intent from Harris to start with an attacking-ish type formation. I would have liked to have seen Mayer or perhaps Emaku on one side with Watmore on the other, because having Watmore on one side of that attack and then Honeyman on the other, it sort of, we become lopsided a little bit. We had some real good defensive on one side and then it was just attack on the other. So I think it needs to be a little bit more balanced and a lot more fresh legs, because that's the same team, bar Watmore, that you said, Stephen, played in a really grueling, hard 90 minutes against Southampton. And it was very much the same yesterday. So I expect wholesale changes, especially going on the road as well with Blackburn.
Sorry, Steve, but I know we don't want to spend the whole show about Watmore here, but just on that point, what you've got to remember as well is, since we've had Watmore, we've never asked him to play left midfield or right midfield and sort of having to track back. He's always played in a front three,
yeah,
whether it be on the left, the right, in the middle. So yes, although he has to kind of track back at times or follow the fullback, whatever, but he's not responsible for that. But no. Yesterday's game, he's been asked to do a lot of defending. And you look at the people like Longman, I mean, fuck me, Honeyman did it on both flanks. So he looked so good. Even in the 85th minute, he's still busting the gut, Honeyman.
Yeah.
And he looks so fit. But Honeyman can do that. He's built that way. His stamina is different to Watmore's. Watmore's a bit more of an explosive player on the front foot. So basically, he'll run explosive energy and it's about recovery and then go again. And that's what strikers are like.
Mm.
Midfielders can do it all day long, but they'll just be constantly moving all the time. You know? So, yeah.
Look, we all want Harris to put the best players out there. We all want to see Kasper Dunores, Imarku's, Myers. We want to see electric players and, the better players out there. But it was the same under Edwards and the same under Rowett. If they're not going to fit the system, or they're not going to fit the type of game plan that Harris is putting out there, let's face it, Harris is the manager. If he's got a certain game plan he wants to enforce, certain players are not going to fit into that. He's kept Billy and Sav, which is probably the biggest talking point over the Harris selection since he's come in the last 2 weeks. But they've been really good, the pair of them. And both weeks now, Southampton and Watford, they've been forced out wide because they have shored the middle up. So we might get the ump that we're not seeing Kaspers or we're not seeing a Marcus or Mayers and so on. But if we're winning games and it's the players are doing what Harris is installing and they're the right players for the system, then we can't have too many complaints. Again, the only complaint is it sustainable? I personally don't think it is. I think we are going to come unstuck in periods where we're playing three games in a week. But what can we say after 2 weeks at the moment? It's not pretty on the eye, but this was never about being pretty. This was about winning games of football.
Can I just make a point there? Sorry, mate. Cheers, Stephen. Sustainable, it's not. I go back to Stephen's question earlier. Yes, Harris talks about creating a buzz, an atmosphere, getting the fans behind us, giving them attacking football. Do you really think that Harris be setting us up these last two games the way he has done if this was the beginning of the season and we had 46 games ahead of us? He'll be going for it. Harris will be going attacking football, letting the players express themselves. But guys, we're not in that situation. We're in a survival mode at the moment. We've got 13 games, we've now got 11 games left, and we've got to win games to stay up. So, of course, every game's a cup final. Every game we can't afford to lose. We can't afford to concede. We've got to nick a goal here and there where we can and survive it. But I guarantee you, come next season, and everyone's back to zero again, you press that reset button, then I'm sure for the first 10, 15 games, Harris will play attacking, expressive football and see how we get on. We'll roll the dice. But if we come unstuck and we end up doing shit or whatever, lose lots of games, then guess what? It'll probably go defensive and try and grind out results again. But at the moment, where we are at this point of the season, we need to get wins. We can't afford to lose games. And that's why we're seeing what we're getting. But I think the point that Harris was making was getting the fans on board, getting the players up for it. And you're definitely seeing more fight now for the players and more effort. And I mean, God knows what they're doing in the distance they're running at the moment in games. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot more that they did under Joe Edwards and probably right before that as well.
Yeah, 100%. I think the thing with it is the same performance we put in yesterday was pretty much the same at Southampton. Less attacking. But there was zero complaints about that at Southampton because they're a fantastic team. They like to
And we're away from home as well.
And we're away from home. Mm. So I expect that away from home, and people should expect that Tuesday night as well. It will be very similar. I was just slightly disheartened that we was very much the same at home against a team that really is struggling. They're a great team, Watford, but they are struggling. And there was an opportunity there to really get after them. And I thought we let that get by us. Harris did say he wasn't happy with some of our passing. We didn't retain possession as much. That's stuff that they'll work on. You know, some of these players he hasn't worked with. That was Watmore's first interaction playing in a Harris team, you know, and it probably took
I was going to say that, Jay. Sorry to interrupt you there, but you've got to remember, this is the first time Harris has started Watmore and the first time he's seen him play in his position. Will he play Watmore left midfield against Blackburn on Tuesday? If I was a betting man, I'd say put your money on that. He won't. You know, it's going to take him a few games to sort of look at these players, looking what they can do, what they can't do, who's up for the fight, who's not up for the fight. It's going to be a few games like that, you know. And I think slowly he will work out his team, his best team, and how he wants to play it. But yeah, I mean, obviously, like I said, we're in survival mode. You know, forget about, you know, the playing lovely football and exciting football to watch on the eye. It's about getting wins at the moment. I don't give a shit how we play at the moment.
No.
Loads will get those wins.
Exactly that. Absolutely. And we can debate that in the off-season when that comes, and hopefully it's with Championship football. But like,
don't get me wrong, if we stay up and then next season, come August, and he starts playing the same football he's playing now, I'll be thinking, hang on a minute, what the fuck's going on here? We're not fucking fighting a relegation battle at the moment. What are you doing?
Yeah.
You know? But at the moment, I fully back up, see what he's trying to do, and we need to grind it out. We've got two wins, we're probably going to have two, three more wins for us this next sort of 10, 11 games. I think we can do it. I really do.
Absolutely. And that comment there from Finn, I believe he's a Coventry fan. Relegation survival footy never looks pretty. It's about fight and spirit and 100%
absolutely,
every game.
Finn. Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. And that's what you get with Harris. That's what you get with Harris's team. That's what you get from Dave Livermore as his assistant. That's the message that's being passed on to us. It's keeping with the game and going back to, I'm going to go back to a comment that I'd starred from earlier from Connor. Harris has turned Sarkic from an inflatable waving tube man to Courtois. Now,
I like that.
So do I. That's a fantastic comment. I must admit, I thought, and I really, really convinced myself that Sarkic wouldn't be playing under Neil Harris. I was convinced that he was going to go back to the bar. He was going to bring back all the old guard, basically, and Sarkic would have been dropped. I have to say, I thought he was excellent yesterday. To echo what Connor said there, in the first half, in the space of a minute, he come and claimed a catch that was a very difficult. It was a difficult ball to come for, and also the little flick with his hand when the ball come across, and he sort of scooped it up over the.
That's a good reaction, wasn't it?
Yeah,
good thinking to do that. That's
absolutely
a second.
Absolutely, I thought. Looking at Watford's defence and Hamer in goal for them, he was at fault for our goal. He miscontrolled that ball that led to a corner. Watmore took it round him because there was a distraction with him and the defender. And I just think I looked at him and I thought, I could see that in Sarkic about a month ago,
things happening.
Where
the confidence was low,
But yesterday, completely, completely different. And he's added this picking the ball up and just falling on the floor. And just wasting time. Harris has kind of said 10 seconds.
Harris fashion.
Yeah, he's been in his ear going, come on. Every time you get the ball, drop down, hold on to it. And it's really pleasing to see. And I know not everyone agrees with Harris's style of football, but he's clearly getting to these players. He's riling them up and he's going, come on, we can do this. And Sarkic seems to be one. I don't know what you guys think. I don't mind maybe Joe coming first there. What, you know, Sarkic and a couple of others, I think, Billy Mitchell, Danny McNamara, Ryan Leonard, that confidence is just absolutely, you know, flowing through them because they're doing what they know they can.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. I mean, he is a motivator, Neil Harris. You know, anyone and everyone that knows him or work with him, you know, players like will tell you that, you know, he's someone who will get in your ear roll. He'll talk to you before games in training and he'll be motivating players and getting them up for it, stuff like that. And, I believe that's what's happened with Sarkic. Sarkic, you're right, looks a much more confident player. You know, his ball handling's good, his decision making's better. And I think Harris even mentioned him in interviews, you know, about how good he is. And he mentioned the fact that he's now, you know, playing like I don't think he actually quoted the amount they paid for him, but he sort of said, like, you know, what the price we paid for, he's now showing his value of a quality goalkeeper, what we all believe he's good at, you know. So it's only going to help him, and I'm sure it'll help many others as well. But yeah, that's the difference between Harris and say somebody like Gary Rowett or Joe Edwards, who, as good as they were as tacticians, they weren't really motivational type sort of, you know, personal managers, were they, who get the best out of their players?
Yeah,
no, absolutely.
Sorry, Stephen, go on, Kevin.
No, I was just going to say, I thought, I wasn't sure if you were going to jump in there on Sarkic. I was going to say, after, if you come in there, and then Joe, if you want to respond back to Spencer.
Very, very quickly, yeah. Spencer, I mean, to your point, I see what you're saying, but what you've got to remember is watching Watmore in a 5v5 training drill or a shooting drill or whatever it might be, it's very different to seeing him in a match day, in an intense game, you know, 11v11, when, you know, there's a lot at stake. And I think for Harris, what he's seen in Watmore is probably really, really good in training. He's probably seen him being up for it, scoring goals, making little dribbles and doing what he does. But the difference is when you come to match day, it's a completely different ball game, you know. But what this would have done on Saturday would have given Harris an idea as to whether he wants to carry on playing him, whether he feels he needs more game time in order to improve his stamina. But, you know, what you see in training is not always what you see.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
In match days to Harris' defence there, Spencer.
I'll comment on that. The thing is as well, we're going to see a lot more of Watmore because Bradshaw's now probably done for the season. So we do not have many attacking threats. Mm. And Marku, you know, I don't think he's ready to lead the line every week. You know, I think that'll be Obafemi's gig now until the end of the season. But we are going to need Watmore late in games. We are going to need him, Marku. And these guys do need playing time if we're going to get any form of performance out of them in the stretch that's coming, you know. So I would have liked to have seen him, Marku. Maybe we'll see him Tuesday. But Watmore getting that 60 minutes under his belt would be massive because he hasn't played a lot recently, you know, and it would have been a culture shock for him to after playing that system under Harris. So, yeah, we are going to see a lot more of him because we got injuries.
I thought absolutely. The substitutionally move there, made there for Watmore was excellent. Yeah, bring Norton Cuffey, getting Honeyman to go on the other flank to deal on that problem on the left-hand side. The only move he did, which I wasn't quite impressed with, was bringing Longman on for Obafemi. I think had he gone for Emaku, you'll kind of almost bring a like for like. I think we desperately need pace up front in the middle on the counter. Bringing Emaku on for Obafemi for the last 20 minutes, or however long it was, would have been a much better move. Because the trouble is, when you bring Longman on there, yes, he's probably going to do the pressing like Bradshaw would do, but you're not going to give them the kind of the fear that we might catch them on the break. And at that point, you can see they just controlled the rest of the game, Watford. They played a very high line. They knew we weren't going to get him on the break. And it's a different game there. So, but again, it's a learning curve for Harris as well. You see what the players can do, what they can't do.
I actually thought as well that because Longman was brought on against QPR, wasn't he, for Nisbet? Mm. And he was kind of used as a scapegoat. At that point, I thought for Edwards to say to the board, get me a striker because I've only got, Bradshaw was struggling. I've only got Nisbet, you know, I need some help. Yesterday, I don't necessarily think it was a scapegoat tactic from Harris. I think possibly he'd spoke to Adam Barrett and said, what can we do here? Don't want to risk the young lads, which I don't necessarily agree with. I think the game was, someone said it earlier, I think I'm not sure which one of you said it. I think the game was crying out for Emaku's pace to help us when Obafemi went off. Mm. And Adam Barrett's probably gone, oh, well, Ryan Longman's played. He's played up front a bit. You could try that. And Harris, you know, having worked with all of the players. I mean, I don't know if that's actually happened. That's just me guessing, but who knows? Mm.
Could he have brought Longman on because he wanted literally 11 players behind the ball? Now, if that's the case, then yeah, that's the right decision to make because a Longmore can be your first line of defence playing in that front line because he'll get behind the ball. He'll try and close things down and try and, you know, stop gaps in between the lines. But what I did notice, the game did change. When Obafemi was on the pitch, Watford played a very, very deep defensive line, which allowed which allowed us to kind of like, you know, play a little bit harder at the pitch. But as soon as Longman came on, you just see the defensive line push right up to the halfway line, and suddenly we were pegged back, and we couldn't hurt them on the break.
Yeah, that's the problem I had with that sub, was that we then relinquished our outlet, and Watford saw that, and it was kitchen sink time, and there was cross after cross. It was pumped in the box. And then when we was clearing it, because Cooper was knocking it long, we didn't have anybody up there to just stretch it, just take it into the corner, or, you know, just try and bring us upfield. That's the problem I had with that. Now, that may have been a Barrett thing, you know, they may have discussed that. There may have been a bit more discipline from Longman to defend more, like you said, Joe, stick 11 men behind the ball. I think that's the message it sent to Watford. And I think that's why they then really pushed. And it wouldn't have looked very good if they did get an equaliser or then went on to win it, you know. I thought it was prime time to see Imaku then, because that would have been great to get him some game time. You would have had 10 men behind the ball already set in their stone with their positional awareness and the game plan. And just say to Imaku, just sit on the halfway line, because as we clear it...
On the shoulder.
On the shoulder. Yeah. Just beat your man. Mm. You'll keep a couple defenders back. Because I noticed with set pieces as well, is that they kept three people up Watford every set piece.
Yeah, they did.
And we had to keep three people on them. So Billy sat in the middle and Danny and Lenny had to sit. So they was nullifying us a hell of a lot as well. So it was a very tactical approach from both managers, I think. I just think the Longman one, he missed an opportunity there to get some legs into one of the youngsters who we're going to need with Bradshaw out.
Absolutely. Before I'm going to come on to a couple of individual players that I wanted to talk about. There's a couple of comments that I've starred. I'm going to come back to. Firstly, this one from Danny, and then it leads on to one from Richard. Whilst I'm so happy we're winning, I find it disheartening. Other teams around us are also winning. And to follow that up with Richard's comment, love him or hate him, without the last two wins, we would be 5 points adrift in the bottom three.
Exactly.
Now, this is the big thing. I can't tell you how disappointed I was sat in my seat yesterday when I saw that QPR were 2-0 up at Leicester.
Yeah.
You just think, bloody hell, what as your luck. However, those clubs would have thought exactly the same thing last week when we went to Southampton and were 1-0 up and then 2-1 up. And again, I don't want to keep talking about Joe Edwards. It's in the past. But had he have been manager for these two games, that there, we would be 5 points adrift and we would be staring down the barrel of relegation. So I agree, Danny, it's very disheartening to see the other teams keep winning around us. However, one, Harris is keeping us in the fight. That's all you can ask for. Two, it could be a whole lot worse if we weren't getting those results over the line. And thirdly, and I'll invite both of you in on this, we are now dragging in Plymouth, even Middlesbrough, Watford, Birmingham, Stoke, Blackburn. We're dragging these teams. We play Blackburn Tuesday. We play Birmingham next week. We're within a win of those teams. And they were probably thinking, oh, we're okay, we're okay. They're going to be looking over their shoulder now. They can't treat these games as free hits. They're going to have to turn up.
What's interesting, it's so dicey there now at the moment. I met a mate of mine who's a Watford fan. And he was there at the game. And I also met him afterwards. We had a few beers, something to eat up in London, stuff like that. And, you know, he's a diehard Watford fan. He goes home and away all the time. And he said, when I sat in the car at the end of the game, I said, what do you think? He goes, it's just two shit teams. It's a shit game, two shit teams. He goes, what do you expect? But you boys needed the points, you know, and you fought for it better than we did. I went and I said to him, well, you know, to be fair, you know, Watford, they're safe, aren't they? I said, look, they're kind of, you know, mid-table, they don't need the points. And when you say that, but we're now only 5 points ahead of you guys. We're now six or 7 points, he said, from relegation, like from the bottom three. And I was like, fuck me, is that right? I had a quick look at the table and it was true. I mean, he's at Watford are now closer to the bottom three than they are at a six spot playoff place. And that's the thing, I think from Watford down to Sheffield Wednesday, who are second off bottom, you can see there's only about, I don't know, 5 or 6 points splitting those God knows how many teams, eight teams. Do you see what I mean? So
yeah,
this season, unlike others, it's going to take a lot to stay up. Because in previous years, where you need like 45 points or 46 points for safety, Mathematically, you probably need at least 50 points now, I reckon, for the first time in a long time, in order to get survival. It's going to go down to the wire.
That leads me nicely to another comment. And Jay, I'll invite you in on this one from Lilian Bleu. 2 weeks ago, we was asked how many points do we need to stay up? I believe 17 points or so would be needed, considering other teams around us are picking up points. Will 17 be enough? This is the thing, that points tally, that every season that comes out, doesn't it? The stat comes out, how many points do you need to get in the playoffs? How many points do you need to get to be safe? And honestly, at the time Harris come in, I thought it was going to be around the 48 mark. That's kind of what I had in mind. I haven't got a clue now. Jay, any? Can you shed the light on what the points total might be?
I said 12 points was needed before we went into Southampton. I think it's 12 points needed from this point on, from Blackburn. I think, can you imagine being a QPR fan going away to top of the league, beating them, and then seeing that we've won? I know we're upset, and fans, and I said it in my gut reaction that, look, yeah, it is disheartening, but I don't care. Because as long as we win, they can win 11 games if they want. If we win 11 games, I'm not going to care, because they'll be below us. We've dragged Birmingham, Middlesbrough, Blackburn, Plymouth all into it.
Stoke are banging trouble, James. Stoke are in trouble.
And if they lost yesterday, Schumacher was going to get the sack. And I wouldn't be surprised if this week Watford manager gets the sack as well. But there's so many teams in it now, and it actually makes it a lot more... It actually makes it better for us in terms of we still need to stay on our toes. We can't get complacent. We still have to turn up, keep the mentality and keep the belief, because we ain't pulling ourselves away yet. It does still keep that fear in the back of our mind. But QPR and Sheffield Wednesday and Stoke, their fans would be feeling so much worse than ours after Saturday. They really would, because they won massive games. Massive games. It ain't great. And yes, it beating Southampton and Watford, and if the others lost around us, you could be looking at a couple more wins and we might be all right. So it is really, really tight down there. But we're playing two teams this week that are right dragged in with us now, Blackburn and Birmingham. And if we can get something from these games, you know, we could have an 8 or 9 team relegation battle going on, which only leaves us.
Just looking at the fixtures really interesting, they're split over Tuesday and Wednesday. So some teams will play first, like us, for example. We play on Tuesday. You've got Birmingham travel to Hull. That's a tough fixture. Stoke travel to Leeds. That's a real tough fixture. Sheffield Wednesday v Plymouth. So that one of them teams, guaranteed, can't pick up maximum points. QPR are at home to West Brom. Again, they're in good form, but that's a tough fixture. Millwall, Blackburn. All of these games, all of these teams are starting to play. Middlesbrough, who you might think are relatively safe, they're playing Norwich. Norwich are flying at the moment and you know, going for the playoffs. So every fixture every week of fixtures, there's 6 or 7 games now that you're thinking, Christ, it is. And you know, last year we were looking at the playoffs and thinking, oh, they're playing this, playing this. But again, for obviously the wrong reasons, you're looking at 6-7 fixtures and thinking, Christ, they could be in trouble. It's a nightmare.
The next two games alone are 6-pointers, aren't they? This is what's going to be this part of the season when all these teams in that section I talked about between Watford and Sheffield Wednesday will play each other. These are all the 6-pointers. Yeah, we win against Blackburn, we win against Birmingham. Suddenly, those two are banging trouble and we're out of it, you know. Equally, if we lose those games, they pull themselves out, we're banging it again, you know. So it's so important. But you know what? It's what makes it exciting, doesn't it? You know, unless you're challenging for promotion or you're fighting a relegation battle, what's the fucking point if you're in mid-table sometimes? It does make it a little bit interesting, a bit exciting. But all to play for the next couple of games, definitely.
Absolutely. And another, again, a couple of comments on this. First one from Charlie. Can we sign any strikers who are free agents to ease the shortage? And then follow up with one from the Daily Mail. Need to sign a centre forward. We have until the fourth Thursday in March to sign a free agent. Now, I didn't know that there was a deadline for that. I must admit. So that's good knowledge for me.
I'm disappointing you, Steve. And you're usually pretty good at that normally.
Well, I'm honest, though. I'm honest, Joe. That's another quality. Would you guys be looking at the free agent market again? I can probably find a list somewhere. Is that too much of a risk? Would you look to do that?
Who's available? Let's be honest. You know, if you're going for an oldie, let's say you're going for an old 33, 34-year-old big lump centre forward target man type person, then maybe yes. Yeah, someone we could bring on for the last sort of 10, 15 minutes we're chasing the game when he'd go long. But otherwise, I don't think there's much available. I mean, surely if there's anyone good enough, they'd have been snapped up by now. Wouldn't you have thought so? I don't know.
I'm actually trying to find the list. I think, are you
Jay's looking at
you? Okay, while you're getting that, we'll carry on. I mean, there's also a couple of people saying Connor Wickham, but I'm not sure about.
I don't think so. But you know,
he's for 3.0.
Connor Wickham's is, you know, in his heyday would be the sort of players we could do with someone who's, you know, can hold a ball up, bit of a target man, you know. But yeah, I don't know what he's like now. He must be about 37, 38. Lions Raw made a comment earlier about Obafemi, the way we're playing with him. I mean, you're right there, Lions Raw, because we're hitting these long balls to him, and Obafemi's about 4'2", and he's trying to challenge a header against a 6'7" centre-back called, is it Hoyt, their captain, who I thought was their best player, to be fair. I thought he was excellent, immense. I mean, he won every header, everything that was coming his way. And my Watford fan, again, mentioned that he is already their best player, or he's going to be their player of the season this season. So it seems that's what he's been doing consistently. So I think Watford have got a couple of players that are trying, and a lot of them are not trying for the manager at the moment. But he looked good. And like I said, when you're playing him up against Obafemi, what do you expect? I agree with Lions Raw, what you're saying there.
Absolutely. And just there's a couple of comments coming through about some players, you know, John Daly.
No, surely not.
I think the big comment is, and like this one here from Andrew, and would any of these free agents be match fit? If it takes a player 4 or 5 games to get fit, how is that going to help us? I agree 100%.
Look at Obafemi. Yeah, that's someone who's young and, you know, and if he's got some natural fitness. Any of these free agents are going to be in, you know, on the wrong side, you know, age-wise. They'd be in their early, mid-30s, if not more. And you're absolutely right. But I think anyone we do bring in as a free agent at the moment would be that sort of player. Somebody who's going to come on last 10, 15 minutes when we're 1-0 down or we're pushing for a winner and we want to go long. You know, dare I say, a Meyerhofer, you know, Matt Smith-type player who can just change the dynamics of the game a little bit. At the moment, we've got no one we can bring in that can give us something different if we have to go...
Even in the squad at the moment, we are lacking a typical Harris forward line anyway, because we do not have that big guy up front, that Steve Morrison, that Matt Smith. There is one name that's popped up, Troy Deeney, if he ever wants to play football again.
Well, I'll tell you what, we joke around. I think anyone, you don't even have to move at the moment. If you've got a height, it works for us, I think, in both ways. So sometimes, like, I was watching yesterday's game, in the last 10 minutes, you know, Watford had a couple of corners. And I remember saying to myself, like, fuck me, like, if we had Matt Smith right now, yes, we're thinking about what can you do in the offensive third, but how good was he, you know, in defending set pieces? How good was Steve Morrison at defending set pieces? You know, so yes, we think about getting a big centre forward up front, but just in set pieces, when you're 5 minutes left of the game and you've got to look at the injury time clock and you've got to defend a free kick or a corner, just having a big lump up there to kind of help the likes of Cooper and everyone else, they're kind of clear our lines a little bit, it can be so powerful for us. So, yeah, that's not a bad option. But like I said, anyone we get on a free ain't going to start. They ain't going to be good enough to start. It'd be more of an impact to help us out, really.
Absolutely. I think there's not, in terms of the game yesterday, I don't think there's an awful lot more we can cover over the game itself. I think we've kind of, you know, there's not much more to say. We ground out the result. There wasn't many chances. A couple of things I will mention. I listened to Watford Twitter space or X space yesterday after the game and actually spoke on it for a little while just to give them a perspective from our point of view. And one of the underlying tones, and I see it on Twitter across all the forums, is that clubs are absolutely desperate for this money from the Premier League for next season. That Watford fans were talking about how important it is with debts and things growing. You know, we've spoke about it. clubs have changed their managers because they're desperate to keep in this division for that. Do you think with, you know, we've got 11 games to go, I wouldn't be surprised if we still see maybe three or four different managers, Watford being included, still being sacked, with clubs desperately trying to roll the dice. It's such a big thing, isn't it? And it's, you know, relegation is never something you want to go through as a club or a fan or player or whatever, but now it's the pressure is so high on all of these teams, isn't it?
Which is probably another reason why the club reacted the way they did in getting rid of Joe Edwards and bringing Neil Harris in, because, you know, survival is imperative. Like you say, for the financial implications, us going down, you know, it may mean us selling all our best assets for half the price or half the value that we think they're worth at the moment, just to survive, you know. And there's so many, like you said, so many other clubs in and around us at the moment are thinking exactly the same thing we're thinking of and are desperately trying to make these things happen. I mean, that Ishmael, whatever his name is, that Watford manager, I think someone mentioned it in the comments earlier, I'm surprised he was in charge for our game, because there was talk he'll get sacked the last game, you know. How he's not even sacked now, I don't know what's going on there. But at the moment, he's certainly set up a PB for Watford manager. I think he's the longest serving manager about the last 10 years, isn't it? Did he join the summer, I think? So he's been there about at least 7 months.
He's lasted quite a long time. But again, it's one of those, isn't it, that they're a club that have, I don't know how long they've been down in the Championship, but their money, their parachute payments are running out, and they're running out fast. And them sort of clubs, Hull again, have invested heavily. If they don't do it, the implications of not getting out of this division the right way or dropping out of it the wrong way are huge right now. And everyone's under that pressure.
The thing is, you look at League One now, it's so strong. League One is what the Championship was like 6-7 years ago. There's some massive clubs down there. There's some good money, some good ownership down there. And it is, if you go back down, you ain't coming straight back up. Some people were saying, oh, we'd come straight back up. You got to remember, there's 12 of these players won't be here next year we go down. Because you've got six out of
contention. Certainly our best ones won't.
Exactly. I bet Casper Dunor and Ian Fleming will not be here next year. Regardless. Absolutely. And that's without the free agents we got and with the loan players that we've got, that even we probably couldn't get back on loan because they're better than League One level.
Sorry to interrupt, Jay, but you look at Emaku, Esse, you know, all these youngsters, you know, all our best assets, they'll all have to go, because financially we just have to get rid of them, make some money, wouldn't we, you know?
Without a doubt. And we're not, John Berylson, God rest him, he done a fantastic job financially with his club. Absolute brilliant job. And, you know, stabilised us through COVID. Yeah, and I remember I didn't have to pay for my season ticket the year later because he didn't charge anyone and you couldn't go. He done an amazing job financially for the football club. But going down, we would not be able to compete with some of these big clubs that are down there, and we wouldn't come straight back up. The money has changed drastically from the Championship to League One. There is starting to become a massive gap now where there wasn't a gap before. In a horrible sense as well, it's got bigger between the Championship and the Premier League. But staying up for clubs like us, especially, is so detrimental. And it's so important. That's why we made the jump we did to get Harris in. And that's why you're seeing the likes of Stoke, Watford, all the teams around us making these moves, because we might not have wanted to sack Edwards because he was right man, wrong time. But staying up is more important than Joe Edwards' career, you know. So it's scary to think how bad it could actually be going down. It really is.
Chris Brown, come on, Mickey, you call me a hairdresser, then do a runner, stiff neck my ass. Chris, lovely to meet you yesterday again. Up in block 10. We will pass that on to Mickey. As I say, I'm not going to speculate as to what Mickey's been doing to have a bad neck, but you know, that's for another conversation. The other thing, before we move on, because we've got a game on Tuesday, I thought we could perhaps do the second half of the show looking forward to that and maybe a little bit further ahead on to Saturday. Anybody that follows the X account, Mickey posted out the other day, earlier this today even, the three-word review for Watford. If I could ask you guys in the chat now for your three-word review for the game yesterday, I'm going to read out some of the best ones that we've had from X. who am I going to pick on? I am going to pick on Joe first to give me your three-word review.
My three-word review is simply must stay up.
Love that.
Jay?
Great, but concerning.
Yeah.
Okay. This one here, which is I actually was going to say this, but the emotional one beat me to it earlier on X. Got job done, which I think is pretty much summarized. I mean, there's a few of these. We've got gritty but effective, three more points, survival mode football.
Sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt. I've just seen Connor's comments say fight and win in capital letters. And all I can picture is that fucking idiot in that Seattle shirt in his little body warmer. I turned him around. Oh, that's tickling. That's fight and win. I love that.
Fight and win. Just 3 points. Still need more. Longman up front. Super Neil Harris. Need to score in Luton's shadow. We didn't lose anyone but us. you know, just a little bit of fun, guys. Obviously, you know, yesterday, as we've all discussed, and I'm sure you've seen across other podcasts, you've seen across other forums and on Twitter, Facebook, you name it. Yesterday was about getting 3 points. Us three went to the game. I'm sure plenty of you in the chat were there as well. It might not have been what you hope for when you go to a game of football, but right now we just need to be winning games of football, and two from two, you can't ask much more from Neil Harris. Moving on to Tuesday, gentlemen, with a visit to Ewood Park.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.